about, as Professor Tim Spector from King's College London explained to Connie Orbach.
I think genes are overrated, and we have to remember that we have slightly less genes than the worm. So clearly, it's what you do with your genes rather than the number and the type of the genes that are important, because we like to think we're a bit more sophisticated than the average worm. So my work has really shown that genes are overrated. There is no real such thing as genetic destiny, and that we've evolved to be much more flexible than people think.
Overrated? That seems a little controversial, and everyone says how similar identical twins are. I wanted to look a bit deeper into this, so I thought I'd go to meet a pair that I know really well. Meet my nieces, Florrie, Mabel, and their mum, Nimi Orbach.
Turns out Maymay's got the same mummy as you, so you got to share. You do. Is Maymay allowed a cuddle from mummy as well?
No.
Why?
They're completely two separate people. Their reactions to, you know, a bump, bumping their head, a reaction to the food in the moment. You know, they like completely different things. They make completely different choices. They often want the same thing as one another in the way that siblings do. You want what your brother's got, what your sister's got. They're definitely twins, but they're definitely two separate people.
And that's amazing, because really at this age, they have spent absolutely almost every second of their life together.
Pretty much. I think they've been apart. There was one walk where they were taken separately on different walks. And other than that, like, they literally have been, you know, in the same house or... Yeah, they're always together, yet completely different. And they were completely different from the moment they were born. And lots of the things that we could see as differences between them at the beginning that we kind of didn't want to associate with them at the beginning have stuck a bit. You know, the whining and the groaning. And I won't tell you which one is more of a whiner than the other one in case she listens when she's older. But one whined more than others, the other, and she still does a little bit. It's amazing that they can have had the same experience, the same upbringing, the same genetics, and be so completely...
Mommy.
Undeniably different, can't you, Florrie?
Okay, so it seems that there is something in this, and much more than just my two-year-old nieces. Tim has actually spent the past 23 years studying 10,000 pairs of identical and non-identical twins.
The last 5 or 6 years, I've turned my attention to why identical twins can very often be different. When all of us look at identical twins, we see amazing similarities. But when you scratch beneath the surface, we find that although there's a general tendency for things to go together, when there's a key event like heart disease or type 1 diabetes, the chances are when one twin has it, the other one actually won't have it. So this goes against popular perception, where they think identical twins who are essentially clones with 100% of their genes identical in every cell of their body, end up having rather different lives, and not only diseases, but also more likely than not, if one is gay, the other one is more likely to be straight. If one is has extreme political views, the other one may have different political views. So sometimes it looks like this part of our makeup makes us much more flexible than we'd have believed.
You're saying some really quite fundamental differences if we're talking about diseases, which we expect to be quite genetic, but also, you know, beliefs. It's not just nature, it's not just nurture, but there's something else going on here. And what is that?
I think another big player here is epigenetics. That is the way in which our genes are switched on and off by chemical signals. And these chemical signals vary in all of us and can be influenced themselves by genes, but also by our environments and by chance. And one of the projects we've been looking at for the last 5 years is how what differences between identical twins for any of these traits can be explained by differences in how their genes are epigenetically altered. And it looks promising that some of these changes, the differences in identical twins, can be explained by these epigenetic switches. We don't yet know they're totally causal or whether they're just passengers at the moment.
Can you maybe give me an example? Take me through what can happen throughout their life to end with very different consequences.
Often there was a story of a family trauma that happened when they were young teenagers or kids, and they react differently to that trauma. If there was a divorce, one would become take comfort eating, the other would become anorectic, and you'd get then a chain reaction after that, because those two of them would in effect alter their genes because of that, and in a way would always be different after that point. Time after time, twin studies have shown that twins will react differently to the same environment, which is kind of weird, but it might be an evolutionary idea that to keep us more variable, keep us less predictable as a race, and transfer in a way different genes onto the next group of people, so that our predictability has perhaps been linked to our survival and the way we have escaped predators, and might explain some of our quirkiness as in the human race.
When you mentioned epigenetics, we're talking about lifestyle and life events kind of influence being back on your genes. Is that something that you can pass on to the next generation?
You certainly can in animals. Laboratory animals have shown that some, for example, anxious experiences or stress can be passed on to the next generation, even if that generation wasn't stressed. And there's epidemiological evidence that you can pass on some of these experiences on to your grandchildren. But the data isn't great in humans, but I think there's increasing awareness that this is a phenomenon that does occur in nature, so that the offspring are perhaps better adapted to a different environment than the one the mother had. And what we don't yet know is how important this is in humans.
So I guess Florey and Mabel may only get more different as time goes on and they start to make their own life decisions. Maybe the saying's right, and variety really is the spice of life.
Where's Mabel gone?
Where's Mabel gone?
Mabel! Hey, Florey, where's Mabel gone?
So, Connie, you're here with me now. Your twin nieces are absolutely adorable, by the way. That's really quite a staggering thought, that what I'm doing now might affect my genes enough that my kids might feel those effects also.
I know, it really changes what you think about just general everyday decisions, you know. So often you think, hey, I can do whatever I want. I'm young. I can smoke some cigarettes. I can go out and drink. But then when you actually think about what that might mean down the generations, maybe we're all going to just become really sensible and maybe a bit boring.
Do you really think it's going to change how you view things and how you do things? Perhaps you won't, I don't know, perhaps you might encourage yourself to go on that run or not have that extra drink. I mean, often it's so hard to visualise something that's so far away and so far in the future. I mean, for me anyway, when I'm thinking about having children.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I think the situation we're in with climate change shows that as much as anything else. Maybe I say I'm going to be more responsible, but probably it's not going to happen.
What makes me me and you you? This is a question the Naked Science